Good morning, everybody. I am in Stratford-on-Avon, recording just the general ambience for you today on the 2nd of March 2013. And these are some people singing and playing their guitar. They're asking me if that's all right. So, Stratford is of course where Shakespeare was brung up, and it's a river town, so it's on the River Avon, and it's about 25-30 miles outside of Birmingham, and it's in what's known as Shakespeare country. Okay. So yeah, Shakespeare was here, and Anne Hathaway's cottage and all that is nearby, of course. So Stratford will be a mix of obviously traditional buildings, and then a lot of touristy things. But it's a place where obviously lots of people come because it's very, very different from Birmingham and the surrounding areas, Coventry and all those places that are cities. This is very much a nice rural town, and obviously it's only it's about an hour and a bit from London. But I think, as I may have said on something last year, Birmingham to Stratford actually is a much more viable option in some respects. You could come to Birmingham, do all your tourist thing, and then in Stratford and go to London and whatever, and use Birmingham as your base really, because it's in the centre of the country, or the UK that is. So we will just record as we go around and see if there's anything else to show you. Oh, I should probably say, given that
statue
of
Lady
Macbeth. Oh yeah. So the statue Hamlet, with everyone climbing all over it because they have great respect for the history. This will go up on.
It's actually a few, so if you wanted me to show you what there is.
Okay. Well, I got some twits driving their bikes as fast as they can on the statue plinth. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a ramp which is good.
Well, I don't mind, it's whichever. I was going to say. Well, who is it?
It's Falstaff.
Hello, Falstaff. Falstaff makes this kind of noise. I think we'll give him a cane to hold. Falstaff's blind now. Oh, me and Falstaff are very pally. All right, dude. Stratford, I have to say, is very accessible. All on... on level and easy to get around, and there is actually a riverside walk that has been approved by the Warwickshire Association for the Blind, I think. So that's the level that which we're talking about. But yeah, it is. There's river cruises. It's all right. Means nothing to me. These aren't the people I know from Stratford. They're probably just slight. He's holding something up on his head, isn't he? Huh? He's holding something up on his head.
Ah,
okay. That's quite good with the sun behind him.
The only thing is the sun's actually working against us.
Well, you could go round and take it from this angle where I'm standing.
So the sun's at the back?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
I am right.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm a photographer, really. So I'll be back in a sec anyway, and see if there's anything else we can record. I think get some nice river sounds for you. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Prince Hal and the other dude that I told you about before, but I can't remember his name. See, I'm a proper Tommy tourist, me. I don't know anything. I'll see you in a sec. So now we're here with a guy in the street telling us about Stratford history. It looks like a walking tour.
I was one of eight, as I said. Now, unfortunately, not all of my parents' children survived. But there was a daughter called Joan, but unfortunately she died at a few months old. So they named their next daughter Joan, Joan the Second. Of course, we shortened her name to Joan Part Two. Then, of course, there was little Meg. Now, she died at only a year old. And there was Anne. She lived longer than the age of eight. And then, of course, there are my brothers. I was the eldest son, and there was my brother Richard. He was a very quiet man. He lived locally, kept himself to himself, and we liked him. But then, of course, there was my brother Edmund. Now, Edmund tried to become an actor, and I tried to give him as much help as I possibly could. I wasn't the only theatrical one in the family. And the problem, unfortunately, with Edmund was, well, he died at the age of 27. In rather mysterious circumstances. Now, we're not entirely sure what happened, but personally, I blame the woman with whom he was having an affair, because she disappeared. just after the death of my brother, and she took the newborn child as well, which was rather suspicious. At the time, I blamed her, and it was a shame because I never got to meet my nephew. And a lot of people do ask if there are any descendants of me running around. Well, no, there aren't. No direct descendants anyway, but there are quite feasibly descendants of my brothers and sisters still running around. So, well, there you go. And also, there, of course, was my other brother, Gilbert. Now, he was a very, very lucky man. As a baby, he caught the plague, the Black Death. Now, I don't know if anyone's ever heard of that before.
Yeah.
But, yes, well, it came to town in 1564. Ah, do mind your backs, ladies and gentlemen. We'll let the van through. There we go. I'll come over here. There we go. Right, all right, sir.
Be
lovely.
She just
wanted
to take
you
through.
Now then, Gilbert, as I said, he was a lucky man, even though he caught the plague, because as a baby, he survived the Black Death, would you believe? Miraculously so. And he never got married, but he, how can I put it politely? He was never short of company. You know what I mean. And, you see, I actually went to school with Gilbert, rather.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I'll tell you a bit more about him later on. But I ought to tell you about my children, because I had three children. Children wish that fathers looked with their eyes, and fathers that children with their judgment looked. Neither may be wrong. Kids, who'd have them? Well, yeah, obviously I said I've got three of them. No, that isn't the inspiration for the three witches in Macbeth. No. That was three ex-girlfriends. Double, toil and trouble. But I won't tell you more about that. Now, my children. Now, my first child, Susanna, she was born 6 months after I got married to my wife Anne. So I'll let you do the math on that one. And also, I wasn't familiar with the term shotgun wedding either. But I can tell you about my daughter Judith. Judith with her twin, Hamlet, and they were born in 1885, and they were christened on the 2nd of February. Now, christening was a rather important ceremony, and I'll stop you on the call here for a moment. Now, as I said, christening is a very important ceremony, because without being christened, we believe that one couldn't enter the gates of heaven. So, with the children dying all the time, it was really important to get your child christened as soon as possible, which of course we did. And, sorry ladies, I have to say back then, ladies weren't allowed to go to school, so Judith, being a girl, she didn't go to school either. But we didn't actually think this mattered at the time, because the year was 1616, and I was starting to feel a bit ill, and I wanted to get my affairs in order, so we married off Judith to a local tobacco salesman, vintner, and a tavern owner called Thomas Quinney. Now, they moved around Stratford quite a lot, but eventually they settled in the room opposite, or the house opposite, I should say, the Crabtree and Evelyn, and they were in the top half there. Now, that building was known as the Cage, because it used to have a large cage outside where they used to stick the local drunks. funnily enough, I was told the other day there's somewhere very, very similar in Stratford-upon-Avon called Wetherspoons. So they tell me. But still, that was where they used to live, but... unfortunately, the last few months of my life wasn't the happiest, and unfortunately, this is because of Judith, or rather, her husband, Thomas. You see, we discovered that Thomas had been having an affair with another lady. Margaret Wheely was her name, and he'd made her pregnant. And the situation was made worse when then we discovered that Thomas and my daughter hadn't obtained the proper license to allow them to get married within the period of Lent, which meant that in March of the year 1616, the two of them were excommunicated. Now, do you know what that means, chaps? No? No idea. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a hint. Basically, it meant that they weren't allowed to go to church anymore. They weren't allowed to talk to God. No one in the town would talk to them. They were outcasts. It was a major problem. So I decided to go and talk to Thomas, and, he decided to confess to his crime of carnal copulation. He was sentenced to a public penance, which basically means he had to say sorry in public, but with a lot of grovelling and whinging, he managed to commute the sentence to a private penance and a fine of 5 shillings. But he hadn't learned his lesson, however, as he even tried to sell the lease on the house opposite illegally to pay for the fine. This led me to take drastic action, and I changed my will. I wrote Thomas out completely, and I left my daughter Judith £300 in her own name, with assurances that Thomas couldn't get his hands on my money. The roguish plume bladder. And, infinite and hourly promise breaker. That owner of not one good quality. Oh, I'm sorry. I often get a bit emotional, you know. About the... Oh, good. Well, I'm glad you don't mind too much. I'll tell you what, by way of an apology, maybe I'll take you to my local tavern, Three Tons. Is that like a good idea? Yeah, maybe get some beer, small beer for the children. If it's open, of course. The landlord's a friend of mine, William Rogers. So if you'd like to follow me this way, I'll take you down to my local.
Are we doing this or should we?
We are crossing back over the roads again. So do watch out. I'll try not to lead you into any trouble.
Yeah, it's a one-off. You never get to this again.
Is it free?
I don't know.
It's just don't know. It's
a mark, yeah. So we're on a walking tour that we've just bumped into.
I ought to mention Judith's children as well. We have three of our own. While we cross. Now, they were Shakespeare Quinney, Richard Quinney, and another Thomas Quinney.
Let's all go. It's, I know, yeah. Yeah, that's all right.
That's not in it, isn't it? It's one of these things.
It's a good thing to bump into.
I know the men's like this.
No, it's a walking tour.
So there must be 50 to 100 people that are kind of gathered on this tour. It's like the Pied Piper effect almost. Lush, isn't it?
Is that crab tree in evening?
Oh, is it? Garrick Inn, 300 years old. Dog's got it now as well. It's finding it a little bit hard to aim now. We'll see if we can get a bit closer, but
began the plague.
Oh.
And that is where the first recorded case of plague was in Stratford.
Wow.
And we don't have anyone here from the United States, do we? But Mexico, it's close. But no, you might, or the name might ring a bell, Harvard. As in maybe Harvard University, yes indeed. Well, that's Harvard House. And it wasn't actually named after Harvard University. Quite the opposite, in fact. Mr. Harvard lived there, sold up, moved to the United States, where with the proceeds of the house he founded a library called Harvard Library, which eventually became Harvard University.
Wow.
So it's actually Harvard University. It was named after that house there. So, but anyway, I'm not going to take you in the garret because I'm always concerned that, you know, we might catch something. So I'm going to take us down the road to my local, Three Tons. So if you'd like to follow me, I'll take you that way.
So we're still following this walking tour. This is me and my serendipitous tours of everywhere, really. I hope you're enjoying it. And we'll just carry on for a bit. See, I've been to Stratford so many times and yet would never have known all this history.
Okay, yeah, but I just thought I'd slow, I wouldn't go too fast, you know.
We'll go and get some meals. Well, you know what? We've woken the dogs up. Sorry, it's strictly open. I do apologise. Let me just squeeze through. I can go and unlock it from the inside. Tourists, yes. You could try the bell, I suppose. Give it a go. It'll probably just annoy the dogs some more. Why not? Give it a push. Go on. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I like winding them up. Now, it doesn't look like we're going to... I'm afraid it's not a tavern anymore. I'm really sorry. It's a multi-award-winning museum called the Falstaff Experience Tudor World, which I do find a little peculiar because one of my more popular characters, Sir John Falstaff, I don't know if anyone's ever heard of him.
He's down on the statues.
Wow, yes, indeed. They're down on the statues. Yeah. Yes, well spotted. I'm going to talk about those in a minute, actually. But, Falstaff. Now, he was one of my more popular characters, and he was based upon the landlord of this very tavern, William Rogers. Now, William Rogers, what an inspiration he was. He was a huge fat man. You might call him a trunk of humours or a huge bombard of sack. But he was a bit of an inspiration, certainly. And I do remember my wife inspired a line from Henry IV, Part 2, after William Rogers and his wife, Elizabeth, had been to stay with us for the weekend. And on the Monday morning, Anne, my wife, was going through the cupboards and she was looking for something to eat. And she couldn't find her. And she turned to me and she said, "He's eaten me out of house and home." Which I thought was rather a good line for a play, so I pinched it. It's in Henry IV, Part 2. But I was very good friends with William Rogers and his wife, Elizabeth. And in fact, she had a brother, Henry Walker, and they named their son after me. I was so proud to be the godfather that when I died, I left young William 20 shillings, which I thought was rather a good sum to leave a young man. But we weren't actually related, William Rogers and I, but we did share cousins, John and Thomas Green. Now, they were lawyers. Do we have any lawyers here? Good. The only reason I asked, there were no any lawyers. No? Oh, you're very lucky, I have to say, because I knew a couple, and they had absolutely no sense of humour. Certainly John and Thomas Green had none. And after I'd written The Merry Wives of Windsor, they certainly didn't understand the humour of the line when I said, "First thing we do, let's kill all the lawyers." Yeah, I actually received some hate mail about that one, but never mind. But still, it doesn't look like we're going to get any drinks here today. It's probably because I'm barred.
Hey, I had to get one in, didn't I? Hey, oh, and I've annoyed the dogs again, yes. Well, still, many's the time I used to stagger up and down the road here, well, drunk out of my mind and, well, pretty much just thrown up on the floor where you're standing. But, you're all right. It looks like they cleaned it up, so well, it was a while ago. Well, as it's a nice day, maybe I'll take us for a little stroll through the park. That sound like a pleasant idea? Yeah, all right, why not, why not? All right, then follow me this way, then I'll leave Peaches and Pasha to stew in their own juices.
That's good. We're going back That's where he's heading towards, and if he's going back to the car park, that's it.
They've got a busker as well, which is quite interesting as he's talking about Shakespeare. And then we have a very modern electric violin being played to backing music. So he's talking about Shakespeare being done in different languages. So African languages, and then Arabic. So he's talking about the theatre that's over to the right that's just been renovated and spent millions and millions of pounds on that, I would have thought. And there's your little electric violin busky man. He's not going to get much money from these walkers playing Beauty and the Beast. I'm sure there must be a connection there somewhere. No.
Yes. Oh, you're in it. What's your place,
sir? He's just talking about Midsummer Night's Dream. We're going to cut off here because we've run out of time, but I'll see you all on in a minute.